Hallelujah. Today we are starting on how to judge prophecies. How to judge prophecies. We started to talk about this yesterday. Is it proper to judge that which comes from God? And of course it is, because God uses man, and man is fallible. And it says, let the prophet speak and let the others judge. And that's the way it is. For the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. That can be both in a good and a bad sense. You know what I mean? It is subject, and therefore we get into it, but it is subject, and therefore it's not just uncontrollable. We are stewards, and so we must be faithful. And in the area of prophesying, we must also be faithful. We are not to be as the empty-headed medium that is fully controlled by demons. We're not to stare at candles and just empty out our mind, you know, and see? It's not what we're talking about. But we are in prophecy. We're not supposed to be as unconscious, but we are to be in communion with Jesus. Don't try to produce things in your mind, though. But be in fellowship with Jesus. Be in prayer and be loving Him and be praising Him and open to Him. And like the Bible says, he that speaketh an unknown tongue, let him pray that one may interpret. And so there should be prayer and just openness to God as you are waiting to see if God will anoint you or give you the interpretation or anoint you to prophesy. And God doesn't just give it into your mind so you speak it out of memory, but He'll give you the anointing, and then you must speak out in faith, just like when you speak in tongues. You must step out in faith and know that that's what faith is, knowing that God has anointed you to prophesy. He'll give you the words, and so you step out. And that's a much safer method than trying to conjure something up in your mind. Otherwise, you'll end up where most of the charismatic gifts of prophecy and interpretation come from, out of the mind. And because they're out of the mind, if they're, you know, if the person is saying good, right things, it won't be super damaging, but he can say some wrong things. Plus, over the long of the period of time, it does do damage because here are many things coming not from God. This out of the mind. And then God seems as if never says anything profound. All God says is just the same old thing. What we are to be faithful as yielded vessels. Since the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. God does not bind us. He does not put us under a clamp. He does not grab you and grab your chin, grab your tongue and start moving everything and get it all going. He doesn't do that. He doesn't force you. But He moves upon you and anoints you, and it's up to you to be yielded. Man, when he prophesies, he can stick himself into it anywhere. There can be a prophecy that the whole thing is wrong. Or there can be a prophecy where God started out and the man finished up. Or there can be a prophecy where man started out and God finished up. Or there can be a prophecy where he yielded and just kind of jumped in and out. It was man, partly God, partly man, partly God, and just kind of because of fear and looking to himself and everything else, you know. Is it not true that Peter walked on the water as long as he looked at Jesus and he looked around and he began to sink? And in my opinion, is he walked back on the water with Christ because he's looking at Christ again. I mean, you start to go down and then you better get looking up because then you can come up again. You can start walking on the water again. You gotta, your faith affects it. And so it is in prophecy. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a demon pressure come upon you? And as long as you looked at the situation, you know, and immediately and you looked away from the situation, and it began to lift. You started looking over there again, and you know. Just like that. However, I was getting mixed up there. But you know what I mean? Just like that. Isn't that true? Isn't that how it works? It works that way. I have experienced. Have you ever experienced this? I wonder if there's a demon here. I'll bet there is a demon here. As long as you bet there's a demon there, there's a demon there. Who's following me? You know, you're in some dark spot, you know. You know, you're going on, you're scared. But if you go in there, there is no demons here. Get out in the name of Jesus. You know, and you walk through and you just kind of, and you don't think about it. So you just think about it. They're there. You know what I mean? But as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord, then you got victory. He's not, you know. You got victory. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is in prophecy. That's the way it is in interpretation of tongues. Because, see, those two gifts particularly deal with utterance and inspired utterance. And it comes forth. It's coming forth as it's coming to you. You're not receiving a revelation that you speak out. But it's coming forth. And you're hearing it for the first time yourself. Now, if you're not hearing it for the first time yourself, but you already got it in your head, it may not be prophecy at all. Probably isn't. Been coming. Now, sometimes God may put something in there, but it won't be all of it held in their mind that you have to bring out by memory. Thus saith the Lord. Let me see. What was that next? Oh, yeah. Children. Behold my children. That's not how it works. Nava. Bubbling forth. Bubbling up. Yielded vessel. Have faith. Anointed. God is going to speak. And you begin to speak. You don't know what you're going to say. But you're going to trust God. And if you're trusting to get things in your mind, and you try to conjure something up in your mind so you don't have to be, so you don't have to go out and just step out and trust God, that's the problem, because you are supposed to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That's what the Bible says. Romans 12:6. Prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And so if you're making sure, I don't want to prophesy because I got to get a lot of stuff in my head first so I don't make a mistake. Who are you trusting in? You might get some good exhortation, maybe, but that's not prophecy. Many have made that mistake, and they end up, therefore, and many are taught to prophesy this way. In other churches, I've heard it said myself, whatever comes to your mind, there you go. Get it all in your mind and start talking. And that's where it'll come from, too. And it might be good if the man is, loves God and so forth. There are many cases where people start out in themselves and God interjects because they've got a good heart, but they've been taught wrong. Because they've got a good heart, but they've been taught wrong, they'll get something in their mind and they'll start to prophesy. But as they prophesy and they kind of run out, they're yielded they're talking, and God will just flow right in if they're believing, if they have faith. And so you'll find that, God can speak at times. But other times, it just messes it all up. It just never gets any further than the man's intellect, man's own understanding. So it's very important that we be able to judge prophecy, since it's like that. It's very important that we be able to judge it. Now let me say right from the outset, you won't always know. You won't always know. There are some that are real easy to judge. I'll give you some that are easy to judge. I'm going to give you some that are hard to judge. I'm going to give you some that I have an opinion on, but I'm not dogmatic on it. It's not easy. It's not that easy. Our pastor himself has said that times, sometimes you just don't know. And you know what the hardest prophecies to judge are? The hardest ones to judge are ones that are given by somebody who's highly anointed and is right on and has got a real good speaking ability. Because God could speak to them and it would sound an awful lot like them. And those are the hardest ones to judge. But thankfully, those are also do the least damage. They also do the least damage because they could be prophecy, see. And those are the hardest to judge, but they also do the least damage, so that's good. All right, let's go through it. Number one, the first and most obvious standard of judgment is, does it fit with the Word of God? Is it biblical? Is it scriptural? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter 1:19 says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." People get saved, fill the Holy Ghost, go on with God, and have a wonderful Christian life, and never prophesy or hear a prophecy. Because they have the more sure word of prophecy. Now, that does not mean it's unnecessary, because there are some people that have a wonderful relationship with Jesus and never got filled with the Holy Ghost. It could have been so much better. It could have been so much better. Now, if a prophecy disagrees or very substantially, it is not of God. If there's a lot in it that deals with real obvious scriptural error, thus saith the Holy Three. There are some, get this one, thus saith Mary thy mother. Now, there have been prophecies in Catholic charismatic conventions where Mary has spoken to them. Now, it could be, even if it's okay scripturally, that still does not mean that it's not of his mind, because that scripture I gave you in Jeremiah 23:30 says, they steal my words, every man of his neighbor. They steal my words. And that means some prophet gets up, supposed prophet, and he prophesies, or somebody prophesies, but what they're doing is they're remembering what they heard. And so they're saying something else, you know. They're speaking what came from somebody else. They heard, or they're quoting scripture or something like that. But see, it's not of God. But, now, if there is things wrong in a prophecy that are unscriptural, that still does not mean the whole thing was not of God. You know, God may have anointed a person and wanted them to prophesy, and they began to speak, but they got their mind into it. And there was something that God gave them, but they couldn't quite accept that. It just seemed so wrong, so they kind of inserted a few words. It may have been, let's say this. Let's say they were just moving and flowing, and God was just pouring through them. And then this thing came into their mind, and just before it jumped out, like all the other words jumped out, their mind checked it and thought, oh, I don't believe that, and then threw their own word in. Like it could have been a prophecy, you know, and as it were, speaking from, you know, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and maybe something in their mind blocked that and checked that, and they said the Trinity instead. See, let's say it's the Trinity, and they blocked that and they checked that, because that as these things are just flowing through them, and remember, it comes through the mind. Your mind is not blank and just talking, but as you are speaking, it's coming and it's quick. Just quick, right there. And there's just a split second where it hits your mind before it comes out the mouth. See? And in that split second, you may halt, something like that. It's happened before where Pastor Don has been prophesying, and a word came, and it just shocked him, and he stopped in his prophecy. Halted, and then he said, went ahead and said what God gave him. Or I remember another time where he didn't. He changed it, put his own word in, and after the prophecy was done, he apologized to the congregation. He said, you know what the word was? It was this. And I halted because my mind reeled at that thought. But that's what God had said. And so your mind is involved. See, that's why it's so important we be able to judge. But now, if it's just totally unscriptural, that's your first check. That's your first check. If it's outside of the Word of God, if it's outside of the truth, then it's not of God. Although that doesn't mean that the whole thing was not of God. It doesn't mean that God didn't want to speak to them. Maybe he did. All right. Secondly, does it bear witness with your spirit? Now, this one is definitely subjective. But there is to be a witness with our spirit. But here, again, multitude of counselors is safety. And so, if you want to see if it fits with your spirit, ask others that were spiritual, that were there. And if out of 10 people that you asked, if 8 of them said, oh, brother, that was of God, and they're convinced, and the other 2 say, well, it could have been, but I wasn't quite sure. Well, that's a pretty good sign. That's a pretty sure sign. And they're all spiritual people. That's a pretty sure sign. But if you got 5 of them that say, well, I think this, you know, and the other 5 say, well, I think this, and none of them are real convinced, then, you know, then it's obvious, you know, that this is a hard one to judge. So you need to weigh with those that are there. And this is a case where you need to learn to discern between your own spirit and the Spirit of God. Because hopefully it's the Spirit of God witnessing with your spirit, and it's not just your own spirit responding. But you can't always tell. That's why I have encouraged this class to listen to that tape, The Mind of the Spirit and the Spirit of the Mind. That tape is so excellent. I keep listening to that tape, and I get so much more out of it every time I listen to it. And Don said this is one of the most glorious revelations he has received. He has longed for this understanding, and it came to him, and it just answered all these questions. And really, it just fits so well with Scripture. As far as I can see, it's right on. Excellent truth. And essentially, just let me say this, that it's this, that the Spirit does not just work through us through some other means than through our mind. Everything that we get from God, the devil, our own spirit, our own soul, all works through the mind. It all comes through the mind. And that's why sometimes, you know, you're getting strong inputs, but, you know, you don't necessarily know which source. And that's why it's so important to be full of faith and to be yielded, those 2 things. And also, thirdly, if possible, to have much experience in the Spirit of God so that you can learn to discern. But it comes right down to real faith and submission to God. You can see the necessity of walking in the Spirit. How are you going to have a witness in your spirit if your spirit's all messed up? And you're receiving input from the devil all the time and from the flesh. And so your own spirit, which is using the mind and uses the information that is in the mind, that's what it works from. That's what it works with. Receiving from God things, and then it must work through the mediatorship of the mind. See, that's why it gets filtered out different ways. That's why the things you get from God can be confusing and everything else, see? Because the Spirit works through the mind. That's why the Spirit, which is at home in the spirit world, actually wonders when you enter into the spirit world. And it's because your spirit is working through the mind, see? And so it's so important that you be walking in the Spirit and keep your prayer life up, be full of the Holy Ghost, and be dependent upon God, and that your heart is red hot, and then you will not be so easily prone to misjudge these things by the witness of your spirit. Thirdly, does it bear witness with church government? What do the pastors, the elders, the ministers, and the teachers all feel about it? That's another way to judge prophecy. You see, that's a real safety. That is a real safety. It's a blessing to have others around that have had experience in the things of God. Number four, what is the tenor of the message? What is the tenor of the message? Does it fit with what God is doing in that particular service? Does it fit with what God is doing in that congregation as a whole? Sometimes there comes a message and it's totally off whack, out of place. It came from the old man's spirit. See, it did not come from God. It came from his own spirit. And you know, people can get pretty stirred up when they exhort. You know what I mean? Pretty stirred up. And boy, they could just say, "Thus saith the Lord," and turn around and give it as a prophecy. And people would say that's of God because it was, quote, anointed. Now, you can have something in your own spirit and be really stirred up about it, and yet it would not necessarily be right from God, see, as a utterance directly from God. Indirectly, what you have is from God, because God has stirred you up. But it's not directly as an utterance. See the difference? Prophecy is directly as an utterance from God. That's what it's supposed to be. If it's thus saith the Lord, it should be thus saith the Lord. It should be word for word what God is saying. That's what it should be, if it's thus saith the Lord. Otherwise, it'd be much better to just get up and say something along this line. Say, "Brethren, I feel that God wants to do this. I feel my spirit stirred. I feel God is wanting to say to this congregation that he wants," you know, and put it in the third person. That'd be much safer. See, and then God doesn't get slammed because you misrepresented him. Now we know it came from you and you feel that, and see, now it's all right. Now we know how to judge it. See, then we can accept that. It's not near the standard. But when you say, "Thus saith the Lord," boy, that's a high standard. That's why we need to be in that place, just yieldingness to God. But God wants us to covet to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. Especially that you prophesy. Because the edification factor is so great to the assembly. And so it's something that we should be seeking after. Number fifthly, is the message coming through a reliable vessel? Now this is, of course, subjective again, because sometimes you may not know the vessel. You don't know if they're reliable or not. You've never seen them before. Maybe they're there for the first time. You can't weigh that. You don't know. You have to weigh it by other things. But if it's a message, the reason why I bring this one up is, what if it's a message that is quite unique, real different? Maybe has a particular emphasis that's unusual. Now, if that came through a reliable vessel, it would give it more credence. Wouldn't it? If it came from somebody that you'd never heard before, or there's somebody in the congregation that's made a lot of mistakes or whatnot, and it was really unusual, there would be more reason to question it than if it was from a reliable vessel. If a newborn Christian prophesied that the whole church was to do something pretty dramatic that would change the direction of the service and so forth, we would be more apt to question it and weigh, and we kind of watch the pastor and see what he does. But if Barbara Barnett prophesied it, we'd be more apt to just follow it, just move right into it, because it's a reliable vessel. I mean, she is a reliable vessel. We are blessed to have Barbara Barnett. We are blessed. I thank God for her, and I thank God for her husband. My, I feel so indebted to them. They have poured out their lives for you and I, and they're still doing it. All the much more. Stand behind them. Do everything you can to support them. Walk in the Spirit so it makes their job easier. do everything you can to make it a blessing. And the Bible exhorts you to do that, that they may do it with joy. Submit yourselves to those that are over you in the Lord. Every parent knows that you can either have joy with your child or it can be frustrating. Johnny, come here. And they don't come. Now you got to do something, see? Now it would have been so nice if they just come, gotten it all over, and told them and so forth, and then you'd be done. Now you got to see. Let's not do that to our pastor. Let's not do that to our elders. Let's submit so that they can do their job with joy. Number six, does it smack of their own ideas? Does it smack of its own ideas? Just a moment here. Now, if a prophecy comes from meditation, frequent study, memorization of things, it's not a prophecy. That came from his mind. He's constantly studying this particular portion of Scripture and whatnot, and so that every time he prophesies, that's all he's saying. If the prophecy sounds exactly the way they normally talk, or is it loaded with a pet idea that they're always perpetrating? They're always talking about that one thing. Is there a phrase that's common to them and them only, and they always use it? It keeps coming out in their prophecies. That speaks to the mind of man. See, that's coming from his own personality. That's not coming from God. When God really speaks, it doesn't matter where you hear a prophecy. When he speaks, there's just a real... you'll find that it doesn't have all the cliches. All the cliches and the words and the repeated phrases. It doesn't have all the traps, the solical... It doesn't have that solical sound. There are some prophecies that, you know, they're always loaded with triplets and couplets. Always loaded with triplets and couplets. Everything that's said is always stated twice. This other person's prophecy over here is always, you know, never stated twice. Or, you know, I mean, it's distinguishing to that soul. And see, God isn't going to do that. God is not going to pull just from that personality. He wants to say a message. That speaks of solical involvement. But this is a little bit more difficult to catch sometimes, a little bit more difficult to know. And sometimes, you know, obviously it doesn't mean that everything that's in there wasn't of God. You need to be very slow to judge. It may be that even though there's something kind of a pet theory or something or some pet thing, that it may be, you know, it's just a possibility, that they're the only one that's open to God to ever prophesy such a thing. And so God anointed them and they prophesied it. And it may be true. It may have come from God, but they're the only one open to say it. But those that are true vessels, sometimes have prophesied things that they themselves didn't fully agree with. And it was said a certain way. You know, God does not use prophecy to try to prove one theology or another. Did you know that? For instance, if there were oneness people and Trinitarian people together in a meeting, and a prophecy came forth and said, "Thus saith the oneness of God," I'd mark that thing as wrong right then. I'd say, That's not of God. God didn't say that. "Thus saith the Holy Three," I'd say, "No, God didn't say that." God didn't say, "Thus saith the oneness," either. God didn't say that. He didn't do that. He just speaks plain. He just speaks truth, just like you see in the Bible, you know. That's the way it's talking. Doesn't try to prove one thing or another. If you had some people discussing the rapture, and there was a question as to whether it was true or not, and there were some that were for and some were against, and then this quote prophecy came forth, see. "I tell you, my people, yea, there shall be a rapture, and it shall come, yea, and I shall bring it to pass, and you shall know, thus saith the Lord." I'd say, "No, that's not of God." I would not accept that. Because God isn't doing that. He doesn't do that. Now, to those that accept it and know it, God may speak along those lines. But God does not use prophecy through an individual to prove it. Now, he may do something supernatural. or he may have somebody go into a trance, or he may have five people all at once fall into a trance, or something like that. That would truly be a confirmation. But he didn't just pick one guy to go out and talk it. You know what happened there? That guy was so convinced in his own spirit, and he felt the Holy Spirit upon him. But you know what? There are people that have gotten together, and they both felt just moved of the Holy Ghost of what they're saying is the truth. Moved of God. Because God is drawing them to love him. There may be people that they just, you know, just like Paul. You know, just because of the zeal for God. They're just moved, and they feel so anointed, they could prophesy at a drop of a hat, see? You know what I mean? And it came out of their own mind. So this is you have to be really cautious. Has it got that ring of soul to it? And if it does, if there's things that are just, you know, real soulical, if it's cliches that we use all the time around here, it's subject to question. If you find prophecies that are all the time using man-child in it, because you don't see it talked about that way all the time through Scripture. That doesn't mean it's not true. That doesn't mean the man-child doctrine is not true. And that doesn't mean that God may not say it. But if it's all the time, you know, you've got to be careful. You've got to watch it, because God doesn't use prophecy that way. And he wants you to hold to the Word and speak where the Word speaks and so forth. Now, God has done unusual things. He can do anything he wants to do. But I'm just saying, what happens in these cases invariably is somebody's all stirred up inside. And they're convinced on a certain thing. And they'll prophesy. It's in their mind. And they're anointed. And they feel stirred about it. And they feel the Holy Ghost on them. Have you ever been stirred about something that later you found out was wrong? Or you did it wrong? Or there was a whole lot of soul? There's about 10% of God stirring you and about 90% of soul? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you don't know? Let me ask that. How many of you don't really know what I'm talking about? Nobody's willing to cut ones with a couple. Well, you'll come to find out. You get all stirred up about something. You know this is God. You know you're so excited. In the study of the Scripture, you can read something and say, "Woo, glory," and get all stirred up. And then you study it for a couple of months and realize you were wrong. And boy, you were so stirred up, and it just caused you. It put such a zeal in your soul. It made you, you know, just appreciate the Lord for showing you this thing. You know what I mean? That happens. It happens. And it can happen where you read one verse and you get the revelation quote and the next verse shoots it all down. And you're so excited you could have written a book on that verse. Good thing you read the next one. No, really. Because it's coming through our minds, it's coming through our soul, see. But if you got all soul involved here and too much soul involved, then it's not of God. And God may have given you some good things. See, what happens sometimes is God stirs in you good things. And you get stirred up and you do the wrong thing with it. That happens all the time. God anoints people and they do stupid things. God anoints people and they draw the wrong conclusion. All the time that happens. God may anoint a person who's highly anointed and he is preaching and teaching and he also says some wrong things. And the people are so stirred up in the congregation, what they hear, that they also believe his false theology. And you know what they say? They say, "God showed me." And then they get a dream about it. Now that clinches it. Got a dream about it. Well, I'll tell you get dreams about a lot of things. How many of you have gotten dreams about a lot of things, you know? And they're not all God, are they? In fact, how often are they God? Rare, if ever. And if ever you say, "Well, I think it was the Lord," probably you just had some real heavy impulses during the day about God dealing in your life and soul and everything. You know, when you're moving that way, a lot of times I wake up in the morning with good thoughts, just sweet things about the Lord and everything. Oh, I just appreciate it. I appreciate that. Because I remember a few years back, I went through it for a while in my dreams for some reason. I don't know why yet. But I'd just get attacked in my dreams and everything. I'd wake up and, ugh, you know, another horrible dream, you know, rebuke the devil and go on. But I fought him. And I won, and but that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, what do dreams come from? Solomon says, through a multitude of business. And you've got your mind going in a certain thing, and you can do all kinds of crazy things in your sleep. That's right. You know, we connect things that shouldn't be connected, see? And especially if you're, quote, you know, yielding to God and everything, and you're just kind of giving whatever's coming, and all kinds of things start coming, you know? And the water current is so fast, it picks up some pebbles off the side, you know? And you got to keep that as clean as you can so that doesn't happen. And so if you understand this, it'll really help you to know that you do need to judge prophecy, but be real tolerant. And it'll also help you to know that you don't have to wait in order to prophesy. It's not like you have to wait for some sledgehammer from heaven. But what you do need to do is do be anointed and wait for the anointing and come to know the anointing. Come to know God's anointing on your life. And be yielding and don't think of yourself, you know, too highly. But just be yielding unto God and just bring, don't let your mind go racing off. Try not to. Just be bringing it in worship and praise the Lord and feel that anointing. And then believe God and have great faith and know that if He anoints you, He will give you the words. And then in that confidence, God will use you. Have you ever talked to somebody in faith and talked to somebody in unbelief? Scared, you're afraid, and you talk, and you got all tangled up and everything else, confused. But if you talk in faith, you knew God was going to speak to them, you knew God was going to minister to their heart, and you just went with that kind of attitude, boy, did God flow through you. That's how prophecy works. It doesn't come out the same way, though. It doesn't come from the same, doesn't come through the soul as much. Hopefully, it'll bypass a lot of all that own judgment, you know, except just to give out what is flowing from God to the people. So that's question number 6. Does it smack of their own ideas? Number 7. Does it promote sensationalism or vanity? If the prophecies are all the time saying you are the most wonderful people, you're going to be the greatest in the earth, and you're just glorious and all glorious within, and you're going to be the greatest, and all people are going to bow at your feet and everything, that promotes vanity. That's puffing you up. God doesn't talk like that. God isn't all the time puffing you up. Now, He'll say wonderful things about you. And it seems like He always does. It doesn't seem like there isn't a prophecy, but God always says something that really makes you feel good. You know what I mean? Makes you feel good. And, you know, He calls you His children or something positive. But to constantly be puffing up and calling people apostles and prophets and, oh, my miracle workers, you know, my great mighty ones, oh, yea, my kings, you are the glory of the earth. Yea, you are the better than anybody else, my people. You know, to hear stuff like that, just, you know. Vain, puffing you up. Yea, you are my Moseses, you are my Elijahs, yea, you know, just making you some great, you are my prophets, you know. They're saying things that are untrue, that are puffing up, whatnot. There's all kinds of that prophecy. It's highly questionable. Read the prophecies in Scripture and sound. Listen to how they sound. Sometimes your ears are red, the sweat pouring off your brow, you're hiding for a hole in the ground, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's crash, bang, wham, you know. Other times it is real comforting. Sometimes it's exhorting and it's really hitting a sin in your life. Along with this, promoting sensationalism or vanity, is the prophecy being used to try to make you believe in that person? Try to make you believe in that person. That's not God. I immediately know that's not God. God doesn't work that way. Does it make you believe in that person? Yea, my people believe in this one that is speaking unto thee. Yea, for they are not his own words. They are the words of God. And what he speaks unto you is not coming from his own mind. Don't think that at a minute. Don't judge him. But yea, receive what he has to say unto you. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, brethren, God has spoken. Glory to God. My, isn't that amazing how God spoke about me? Wow. No good. God won't do that. God will use unmistakable signs and wonders. He'll use things that are confirming it, truly. He's not going to use that person himself to try to get you to believe in him. That's that person. That's how people do it. God doesn't do it that way. People do it that way. Same thing with this theology, you know, that I mentioned in the last point. God doesn't do it that way. People do it that way. But God doesn't. Is the prophecies always pointing out how they have their own private corner on this end time move of the Spirit, making them feel like they are the elite? That's wrong. God doesn't do that. God unites us with his brethren. God unites us with our brethren. That's what God does. And his brethren, the Son of God's brethren. God unites us with them. We don't have a private corner on the end time move of the Spirit, brethren. We are part of a mighty army. There's bones all over the valley floor, and God's breathing on them. And we want to do our part. All right, number 8. Does it edify, exhort, and comfort? In other words, does it bring forth good fruit, manifesting the love of God? You see, the Spirit of God is not in fear, but it's in power and in love and in a sound mind. And if ever a prophecy comes forth that is not in love and is not sound, makes no sense, then it's highly questionable. It should be there, even if it's heavy rebuke, there will always be an element of love. And that's the truth. That is the truth. A pastor that loves you can rebuke you heavily, and you'll receive it, and you'll feel cared for. But if it comes, you know, there's a certain spirit, a soul, a person is so stirred up inside, and they're upset at the congregation. Maybe they're a young man, or there's somebody that they're just mad at you and I, and they're just upset, and the prophecy comes that way. It came out of that man's soul. It came out of their soul. It didn't come out of the heart of God. God didn't talk like that. He didn't come and just rail all over you and kind of just, there, take that, and then walk off. He didn't do that. What he does is he'll get it to you and say, my son, you know, and he'll expose the sin, and he'll say, but then he'll comfort you, and he'll give you a hope, and there'll always be a door of hope. There'll always be a comforting, an edification, and an exhortation there. A prophecy should always help, not hurt. It should free you up, not bind you up. Now, sometimes something that's good may bind you up. And that's to your discredit. That's because of the devil and his lies. It's not God's fault. So make a distinction. Some feel pushed down by a true prophecy, but they shouldn't have felt that way. Some have felt pushed down by a sermon that's been super good. It should have been uplifting. And it's because of evil spirits that are on the individual. That's why. So this is somewhat subjective to say, no, it didn't help me. It hurt me. Well, you may have a problem why it hurt you. 90% of the congregation don't feel that way. But anyway, in general, a prophecy should be there to give life and to give help and feel like this guy is for me. God's for me, see? But if it comes the other way, that vindictive type of spirit without any love, then it's not of God. God's not like that. Although it may be really strong, it may be powerful. Number 9, are the statements given correct? Are the statements given correct? You know, God speaks right. He's not confused. He doesn't say wrong things. God does not say wrong things. Seriously, think about this. If you ever read books that are real old, been around a long time, there's lots of statements in there that are wrong. Do you know the Bible has no wrong statements in it? That is absolutely miraculous. To be been written over such a long period of time by so many different authors over so many different subjects and not make any wrong statements, that's God. That is God. Because there are all kinds of books that say so many wrong statements that are that old. So many. All over the place. But the Bible doesn't. And it speaks about nature and everything, too. Things in science and everything. Still, no wrong statements. That is God. And that's the way prophecy will be. There won't be wrong statements. Misquotations of God's word. That's not God. Or even quotations of his word at all. Just type of memory quote. We'll get to that a little bit later. Giving wrong scripture references. By the way, I personally, God, when he is speaking, isn't giving scripture references in prophecy. That's coming out of the man's own spirit. Now, he may feel highly anointed and heavily anointed to bring it forth, but he's not bringing, God's not bringing forth scripture references. Thus saith the Lord, my people, if you will just turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 2, that's right, my beloved. Page 749, the Constantine. I'm being a little facetious. But you know what I mean. One's the same as the other. Because the references were not inspired. And God may refer to something like he has spoken in his word, or he may refer to as my apostles and prophets have shown to you, or he may refer to them. You see that in the Bible. God will do that in the Bible in the prophets. He'll refer to what others have said and things like that at times, but he won't give it quite like that. See, that smacks of a man's mind again. There won't be any contradictions. There won't be nonsensical statements that make no sense and don't do anything. They don't build anything. You know, God is logical. God makes sense. When God talks, it makes sense. It helps. You don't wonder at the end of one of his prophecies, you know, one of his speakings, what did he say? You don't wonder that. Now, we sometimes talk nonsensical. We got all kinds of things up there all jangled up, and we don't really make ourselves clear. God's not like that. So God does not say wrong things. Now, understand, though, that a prophecy is limited to the vocabulary of the speaker. Understand that. It's limited to your vocabulary. When you prophesy, you don't prophesy with another vocabulary. That'd be just like you prophesying in Swahili. You don't prophesy in Swahili. You prophesy in English, because that's your language. And somebody that knows Swahili might prophesy in Swahili. Right, Mary Jo? But if you don't know it, you don't prophesy in it. So you are limited to your vocabulary. Now, if you got a southern vocabulary, you will prophesy in a southern draw. Y'all. And you may say statements along that line, that, and God is just using what you've got. That doesn't mean it's wrong, because it doesn't talk in your clear language. I remember when I moved from Michigan to Idaho, I laughed and laughed and laughed at them, and they laughed and laughed and laughed at me. I thought, you guys, your language all mixed up. The right language is in Michigan. The right language. We speak right. We speak clear. You guys got all this drawl and all that garbage in your talk. See? I'd laugh at them, and they'd laugh at me. But in a prophecy, God uses what you've got. And so don't let that stumble you. But it should be right statements. Number 10. Is it a copycat prophecy? Is it copycatting the Bible? Is it copycatting others? Is it copycatting pet ideas? There are some that are called prophecy, but all they are is just a bunch of scriptures put together. Actually, a person that's doing that, really, they should be exhorting. They should be up there. If they feel those scriptures strong in their heart, get up there and exhort. It's not thus saith the Lord. They're feeling strongly, they should get up and exhort. Or if prophecies are consistently repeating earlier prophecies. As I spoke to you in before, as I spoke to you last week, as I spoke to you before in the last camp meeting, that's not God. That's copycatting. That's coming from a person's mind. And they should get up and they should exhort. They should say, you know, as was said at that last time, you know, God, I think, is saying the same thing. God is a God of variety. He knows what to say, and he knows how to say it. And he's not bound to saying the same thing. But man is not that way. Have you ever noticed artists when they draw people? Have you ever looked at different books with different artists? You notice that you can always tell who that one artist was because of the way he drew his people. You know, just like Norman Rockwell, you say, now, there's nobody that has variations like he's got. And I'll admit, his variations, I really enjoy his drawings in general. I think some of them are so sweet, so typical. They catch those real cute moments. He's so good at that. But even his drawings all look kind of alike. They have a certain flair to them, right? And that's the way man is. God's not like that. God is not like that. He'll put together a platypus, a woodpecker, and an earthworm. You know what I mean? He creates the subatomic particles, and he creates the universe. I mean, he is a God of variety. There's no way that, you know, God's not saying always the same thing over and over again. That's man. Yes. Well, I would question it. And the reason why I would question it, because although I agree in principle that God could say a thing over and over again, he could. And we know in the scripture that he has at times, you know, it's different ones. But when he says things over and over again, it usually comes garbed in oodles of different, you know, mantles. It comes under this mantle and that mantle and that mantle. It's just like a good preacher. He'll preach to you the same message 10 times in a row and you won't know it. Because it came dressed this way one time and dressed this way another time, and it'll come all the different ways. But we tend to say the same things with the same type of words. You ever notice that? We do. Now, those of you that, you know, if you're not teaching or you're not talking or you're not witnessing, nothing's flowing out of you, and hopefully there's nobody in that state here, you don't really experience that. But if there's a lot flowing out of you, you'll find that a lot of the same flows out. And it flows out again and again, and that's all right. It's all right, Sarah. It's flowing out. But when God speaks, he speaks a variety. It's not going to be just the same thing over and over again. I would suspect, and I may be wrong, but I would suspect that the brother may have been used of God and so forth, but the thing was so much on his heart, that he felt God kept wanting to say the same thing, but it was more his feeling. I may be wrong. I may be wrong. I don't know the situation. I don't know the brother. I don't know, you know. But that would be my question. It is true that God will say a thing again and again, but he still says it in variety. Have you ever noticed how different people, when they prophesy, there's such a variation between the people? Because God is a God of variety. Look at us. God's God of variety. No two of us are alike. And that's the way prophecies will come. You ever listen to Barbara Barnett's prophecies? They are full of variety. They are full of variety. You would never hear, I have never heard anybody prophesy so much and say so many different things. And that's because you're receiving from God. And they're pretty much clear of all that solical embellishment. You know what I mean? Clichés, common words, common sayings. See, they don't have that. They don't have that solical element. See, they're coming from the Lord. And of course, God is limited to her vocabulary. But she's not saying the same phrase over and over again and the same clichés. She's not doing that. Whereas there have been times in this assembly, in fact, we had a lot of teaching on this a few years back because there was a lot of prophesying, and it began to get into that. And different ones prophesying again and again became same, same. And same thing, same clichés. And pretty soon, it was the person. Too much of the person. So there had to be, had to be some more teaching on it because we're falling into a trap. Whereas over the years, as I've heard Barbara Barnett's prophecies, see, just like with Don Barnett's teaching. Now, that's not prophecy, but boy, there's rarely you'll find a minister that can teach as many years as he has and sound so different. Although there is a sameness, I suppose, but it's unique. He gets a lot of information. He's one who preaches the whole Bible. Now, talk about copycatting. Copycatting is because it's coming out of your mind. It's coming out of what you know. And do you know the Bible doesn't rely on your memory? Do you know that? It doesn't rely on your memory. So you shouldn't be copycatting. It shouldn't be coming out of your memory. Now, it doesn't mean it's demonic. It just comes out of your own mind. It just comes out of your own spirit. So a lot of copycatting like that is probably not of God. It's not of God. Number 11, is it too detailed? You say, too detailed? Don't we want detailed prophecy? There is a place where it's too detailed. Too detailed. In 1 Corinthians 13:9, Paul says, we see through a glass darkly. And he also said, we know and prophesy in part. He said, we prophesy in part. And so if it gets too detailed, it's probably not of God. Now, for instance, if a prophecy comes forth and has super details of world events, you notice how the Bible is? You're all looking around. You're probably wondering what scripture I gave. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. And I think the other one, that's where it says we prophesy in part. And I think we see through glass darkly is where? Verse 12. Is that 12? Yeah. You all should know. And say, for instance, a prophecy on world events. Look at how the apocalypse is. It's general, isn't it? Pretty general. Covers basic areas. Gives some specific details, but the specific details aren't too detailed, if you know what I mean. And telling you basic movements and whatnot. But if you get a prophecy, something along the line of in 4 years, 2 months, 5 days, and 48 minutes, it goes right down. Although God may do that. There have been times when God has been real detailed on that. But then you get into other details that really, God isn't talking like that. And I have found again and again, as I have studied prophecies and found them, there again and again, these super detailed ones never come to pass. They never happen that way. They just don't occur. Yes. Oh, really? It didn't happen. Yes. It was published. Was it from a Pentecostal source? A Lutheran church? Are there spirit-filled Lutherans in Finland? Okay. Oftentimes when they're super detailed about personal life or whatever, it speaks of human embellishment. Because it's neat to prophesy specifics. That's neat. And it really gets people excited. The Lord says, thus saith the Lord, I am coming. That's wonderful. But boy, to say, I'm coming in such and such a time and such a place and do this and that and this and that, that's exciting, right? Yeah. You know that one's not of God. Because no man knows. But, like, there's some prophecies that get really detailed. And instead of saying, you know, like, God will speak to you and he'll tell you things of your ministry and of your life. But if you get some guys prophesying over you and tells you who you're going to marry, when you're going to marry them, how tall they are, you know, color hair, the ministry you're going to immediately go into, and then how what the pastor's going to say to you on that day, and he's going to say this, and then this is going to happen, and then, you know, it's one thing to say, my son, I've called thee to minister overseas. Another thing to say, my son, you've got 10 days. I'm calling you over to Africa, and I want you to go to such and such a port, and I want you to catch such and such a flight, and be there, and be sure you're not late because, you know, see, that speaks of human embellishment. But he generally gives a general direction and then gives you the responsibility to carry out the details. And so if it's too detailed, it's probably not of God. Also, if it's irrelevant detail, Jimmy Jones gave a lot of details. How many cans you had in your cupboards, the color of your carpet, number of cats you had, or the color of the cats you had, or one cat you had, or your brother's name or something, see? Things like that, irrelevant, big deal, big deal. Now, when William Branham gave details like that, they always dealt with the need of the person's heart. They always had significance in what was happening. Like one in this tape I heard, when a woman was coming up, she was unsaved. He told her that. See, he didn't know anything about them, but God would work through him the word of knowledge, and he said, and you were praying, weren't you, before you came here? I can see you now. You were praying by this little table, kneeling in a chair, and there was a light there, and the Bible was open, and you were seeking to find favor with God, weren't you? Yes. See, that detail had significance, because it dealt with her wanting to find favor with God. And so he asked her if she would give her life to Jesus and serve him. Will you serve him all the days of your life? That's how he put it. No big sinner's prayer or anything like that. He just said, will you serve Jesus Christ all the days of your life, you know? And will you believe that Jesus is, you know, and so forth? And she says, yes. Prayed for her, and God healed her, and off she went, saved and healed, and ready to go. Now, there was a details. There was even one case where he ministered to a person and even gave them where they lived because it dealt with the situation and even gave them their home numbers, you know, the street and the number and the address of where they lived because it dealt with the situation. But Jimmy Jones would give all kinds of crazy details, and I think I know how he got them, and I think I know where it went, and we'll get to that later. All right, is it too detailed? Number 12, is it halting and stumbling? True prophecy that comes from God bubbles forth. It bubbles forth, and God knows how to anoint. When man thinks, he has to stop, and he has to think, and he has to, you know, there's natural pauses, and he chooses his words, picks what he's going to say. So, if it's super halting and stumbling, it's probably not of God. Although, I will admit that you may break the anointing. It may be from God and it's flowing. All of a sudden, something strikes you and you stop and you think about it and it breaks the anointing. That could happen and you stumble a little bit. That could happen. That doesn't mean it's not of God. And so, that's not just, you know, you have to be careful about that. But if it's coming from God, it will flow. It will flow as it comes from the Lord because there's no hindrance to Him. It'll just come. It'll just pour out, and things will just be there, and it'll pour forth from Him. We need to seek to excel in the edification of the gifts. And as we do, there will not be halting and stumbling in the operation of prophecy and interpretation. Okay, I'm not done yet with this list. We'll continue this on Friday.